In sub-Saharan Africa, the situation on sanitation is very, very complex. It's very challenging. We still find that there are a large number of people who are defecating in the open. And that means that there are some serious issues to health. Diarrhea is the second largest killer of children under the age of 5. Globally, every single day, 2,000 children die under the age of 5, 2,000 children die because of diarrhea linked to poor sanitation and hygiene. In Africa, the challenge also is that many parts of the continent, you know, there are issues of water stress, and women particularly spend several hours walking to collect safe water.
Is this in all African countries, or do certain countries do better than others? What's happening?
I think largely this is the case in most countries of sub-Saharan Africa, with a few exceptions like South Africa, where the right to water and sanitation is guaranteed in the constitution. The other countries are making good progress. You know, countries like Rwanda, like Uganda, in Ghana, we see that the commitment is increasing, but the challenge is still immense.
What is it that has to be done by governments or people in these countries to ensure that people do have access to water, sanitation, and sustainable energy?
First of all, we think that this is a development priority that has to be highlighted by all national governments. We seek world leaders, African leaders in particular, to prioritize water, sanitation, and hygiene, to recognize that water, sanitation, and hygiene is absolutely central to poverty eradication and human development.
What seems to be the problem? What is the difficulty in providing this to people in Africa?
I think there are quite a number of challenges. A, it's not seen as a priority at the national level. But B, there are also issues of having the right institutions. In most of the countries that we work in, we find that there is no one single agency or one single nodal ministry responsible for water and sanitation, unlike in the case of health or unlike in the case of education. In most countries, the responsibility is spread across 6 to 9 different ministries. So there's a great amount of fragmentation, very poor coordination. And when that happens, the capacities in the sector to deliver are weak, and there isn't enough money that's available. African governments had signed up to something called the eThekwini Declaration. And the eThekwini Declaration has mandated that 0.5% of the GDP must be allocated for sanitation. But that money is still not come through.
And you've been to some of these countries. Tell me about some of your experiences there.
Well, there's one experience of this elderly lady in Zambia. I was in the Luapula province, and she was saying that life always was a big challenge, particularly for the women folk. And to give an example, she said that women had to wait till it is dark so that they could go out and relieve themselves. But they did that with a lot of risk to their own life. It put them in danger because of wild animals, because of snakes, but also because of men who were lurking in the darkness, and there were lots of cases of women being molested. So it was a question of their dignity, but it was also a question of how their own health was affected because they didn't have access to something as basic as just a toilet. But then with water aid support, every house then had a toilet, which meant that life was completely transformed.
Apart from what the governments are expected to do, is there any role for members of civil society?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I think it's all about a partnership that local communities, local civil society, and local governments have to do. As a civil society organization ourselves, our role is to bring local communities and governments together. We do impress upon people the need to take up responsibility to ensure that when there is a water system in place, there is a responsibility on their part to maintain it because it's their asset. And anything, any project, any facility has to sustain over a long period of time for people to reap the benefits. They can't consider it as a government project and that the government would come and do something for them all the time. Equally, when it comes to sanitation, there's a lot in it about behavior change.
In what way?
In terms of washing hands, for instance, at the right time, for example, before eating your food and after going to the toilet. And a simple act of washing hands can have a major impact on reducing killer diseases like diarrhea. So there is something that communities have to do. They have to impress upon each other the need to keep these facilities working. We even work with local schools and local hospitals and impress upon the need for them to have these basic water and sanitation facilities, because at the end of the day, it's all about health and it's all about improved lives and dignity.